This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
But I think one of the things that you're going to see in the NFL as we move forward is a bit of a shift in quarterback evaluation. I think when it comes to drafting a quarterback in the first round, it's just essentially kind of a lottery ticket for you, right? Like, you're going to draft on highest upside, if you will, and then hope that the intangibles, the football between the ears is enough to combine with the tools to have, you know, a franchise quarterback. And I think what's been interesting is that those past three drafts, outside of CJ Stroud, there hasn't been a quarterback whose intriguing tool set has been combined with a good processing football mind. And that's where I think Brock Purdy really outshines those quarterbacks that have pretty much, you can argue, have failed thus far. And you know, it's interesting. I was listening to the Athletic Football Show has a show within their feed called the Football GM Show, and it's with Mike Sando, friend of the show, and former GM and longtime scout Randy Mueller. And they were talking about Sam Darnold, and they were just talking about, for Randy Mueller, he really liked what the Vikings did in having the balls to say no to Kirk Cousins and then using that money that they would have signed Kirk Cousins with. And they brought in, you know, I think three or four guys to help the team get better overall that they wouldn't have been able to do if they signed Kirk Cousins, and then brought in Sam Darnold at $10 million. And the question that Sando posed to Mueller was, what do you say to the people? Because Mueller liked that move. And he says, what do you say to the people who are like, listen, the only reason you like that move is because you're tied to a former evaluation of the player when he was coming out in the draft, but he hasn't shown anything in the NFL and whatnot. And he said, I don't disagree with that. He said, I form my opinion based on the film. And he felt like the film that Darnold showed this past year, while as 49er fans, we weren't necessarily thrilled when he was in, showed enough for him to be like, I'm willing to take this gamble while also looking at drafting a young quarterback. And then again, using those resources to upgrade the team in other areas. But what he said was, when you talk to scouts and GMs, the biggest thing with Sam Darnold is his inability to process at the line of scrimmage, that the game seems too fast for him on game day. And when things go south, they go south quick. And that's again what we talk about with Brock Purdy is the game has never seemed too big for him. He never seems like, whether he's playing well or whether he's playing bad, it doesn't snowball in him. You know, did he play terrible against the Ravens? Sure. Were all of those interceptions on him? Not all of them, right? But you also just have to give kudos to a defense every once in a while that just has a good plan. But I think what's hard to do with the quarterback position is scout for those for those things, to scout for football IQ, scout for processing, because there's a lot of college football offenses that don't require that of the quarterback. And so then
it's also getting a little scary the way that college football is not preparing these guys.
Yeah. Not preparing quarterbacks and not preparing offensive linemen. That's a totally different a subject, but so, you know, when it comes to Brock Purdy, is he the most athletically gifted quarterback in the NFL? No. Is he a bottom 10 in terms of tools? Maybe. Right. But he's got enough mobility and he's got enough arm to succeed in a Kyle Shanahan offense, as long as he's able to process at the speed that he can. And he's shown that he can. So again, I don't necessarily see a situation where Brock Purdy falls off next year, because what makes him good isn't something that's going to change year over year over year. Can he process? Yes. Is he going to stop being able to process? No. So now it's about, can he now take those tools and start to figure out how to beat teams when they do things like what the Chiefs did, which is go more man coverage, take away some of those routes.
Right.
That's the next step in his evolution. But yeah, I don't think it's, I have no problem saying that of the past three seasons, he is not arguably a top three drafted quarterback in the NFL. And I would say, he's only behind, I would say he's two behind CJ Stroud. I think he's leapfrogged Trevor Lawrence, because I just haven't seen a lot from Trevor Lawrence outside of knowing what his tool set is to say, yeah, he's better than Brock Purdy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And I think with Purdy too, what you saw in the playoffs, like you said about not faltering, not things, as he moves forward, kids get rattled, right? Things happen that gets in their head. Well, you saw just in the postseason, he played like shit for an entire game. And then when they needed a huge drive against Green Bay, he did it.
Yep.
The world was falling down around him in that NFC Championship game. They played as bad as a half as they probably maybe played all season. And he comes back in the second half and plays great and gets the Super Bowl. And then the Super Bowl, he doesn't win, but at no point did I feel like that game was too big for him. And he made a lot of big plays. See, there were some plays he wants to have back, I'm sure. But yeah, he made a lot of big plays and he just showed over and over again that, yeah, the moment isn't too big, that I am the guy, that I can do this. So yeah, that's the thing that you can't, I don't care how fast you run. I don't care how good your arm is. I don't care what you look like in shorts. People don't know, you know, what kind of heart you have. That sounds cheesy, but you know, what kind of heart you have or what's in between your ears. A lot of times you don't know, until you see somebody on the field. That's kind of where Brock is. Somebody to transition, Brian, somebody who did look good in shorts, who does have a cannon arm, who does have mobility, who was the second pick in the draft. There's some rumors that this particular quarterback, who's been an absolute bust on the
disaster,
field, doesn't seem to have, well, I don't want to talk about his heart, I don't know, but doesn't seem to maybe have it between the ears.
Doesn't have that dog in him.
Doesn't have that dog in him. Maybe doesn't have the support of his teammates. That guy, Zach Wilson, there's some rumors that the Niners might be interested maybe in him as a backup. This is how I look at it. This is how I look at it. That's how I look at backups. Unless, for the most part, there's some instances where backups come in and great things happen, right? Nick Foles comes in, you win a Super Bowl. Jeff Hostetler, Doug Williams years ago, were able to come in and the team still won a Super Bowl. Sometimes the young quarterback who's a backup may step in, and then you go, oh my God, we found somebody. Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, Brock Purdy, right? But for the most part, what you want out of a backup is, if our quarterback's out for a month, if they miss five games, whatever, can we stay afloat? Can we go 3-2? Can our season not blow up? Because usually if your back pets start the whole year, you're in trouble. Just can this guy keep us afloat if a minor, you know, month or so injury happens? Can Zach Wilson do that? I have not seen any evidence that he can. Can Brandon Allen do that? I don't think we've seen any evidence that he can either. I know that he was Joe Burrow's backup for a while, which was a high profile position.
Yeah.
Because that was a Super Bowl team. But we don't know, we haven't seen enough out of him either. So at this point, I don't know who the Niners go to for a backup quarterback. I would love for it not to be Zach Wilson, but maybe he's one of those guys. Shanahan's just like, let me get him in here. Let me see what I can do with him. I think I can, you know, just tell him you throw the ball here because, you know,
yeah,
that's basically what Shanahan Kyle wants out of his offense anyway. Right.
Yeah.
So throw the ball here. So maybe he feels Zach Wilson has the tools and he can coach him into it, but I don't know. I mean, the good backups, they probably, maybe they couldn't afford, I don't know. You know, Jacoby Brissett's.
You know, yeah, maybe, well, maybe. I think Brissett's probably trying to go somewhere where he could compete. You know, I think is he still on the market? Because I feel like
he's not
New England. No. Oh, who did he sign?
He went
to
New England. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would say that's the perfect place for Jacoby Brissett. Here's the thing about Zach Wilson: the 49ers trade for Zach Wilson. They have to pay him $1 million next year, $1,055,000. That's his base salary for 2024. The cap hit for the Jets is $11.1 million, but that's a roster bonus of $4.39 million and a signing bonus of $5.7 million. I don't know when that roster bonus, hits. And so if they trade him pre 6-1, then they spread that $10 million cap hit over 2 years. If they trade him post 6-1, then it's just that signing bonus, because that roster bonus has already been paid out. So I think at most the 49ers would have to pay Zach Wilson $5 million, which is I think roughly what they're paying Brandon Allen. So in terms of financially speaking, not an issue for them whatsoever, even though he was the number two overall pick. Most of that money is bonus money that the Jets have already paid out. Second, there's no chance that Zach Wilson comes in here and anybody thinks that he has any shot at anything other than QB2. He's not competing for QB1. No, he's not doing that, right?